Hello.
Hello, Vicki.
Hi.
Hi. How are you today?
Fantastic.
All right, good. I'm excited to talk to you today and discuss what's been happening for you with Make a Difference with the Power of Acknowledgement program as you've been taking it into and using it with your peer program. And just to let people know that you are not going school-wide yet. You're kind of in a test market situation with your group, and so we'll just be talking about what's happening with the kids that you're working with. And so what I'd like you to do is just explain what you do, what you're being hired to do as a with your peer mentoring program. And so just fill us in, and I'll probably ask questions as we roll along. You had some really wonderful stories you shared with me that I'd love to kind of take people from beginning to end, how you jumped into the program, and just your real-life experience with it, I think, is what people really want to know.
Mm-hmm. No problem there. I have plenty to tell.
All right. Sure. All right. Well, I'm excited.
Me too. I saw one day that you were challenging people to enter a little contest of sorts. Like, you posed a question. You said, why would your school be, I don't know how to put this, why would your school be eligible for getting my program for free? Can't tell me in so many words, why should I give you this Make a Difference program? Why is your school, you know, worthy of the program? And I thought, oh, this is a challenge. I like challenges. And so I went to work and typed up a little essay about the school that I worked at and why I thought our kids really need this bad. So in my wording, I did the best I could, and at work one day, just got a call from Mary Robinson Reynolds. The secretary took the message, and she says, Vicki, Mary Robinson Reynolds called you. And I said, what? I said, there ain't no way Mary Robinson Reynolds would be calling me at school. I don't think so. And she says, yeah, no, she's here. Here's the number, call her back. And I said, are you sure it was Mary Robinson? Like, it wasn't her secretary or somebody that works for her. She says, no, no, no. She said, I mean, it was Mary Robinson. I said, okay, this is way too wild. So I called, it was Mary Robinson Reynolds back, and I said, hello? And he said, hi. And I was like, it is her. Oh, my word. Couldn't believe that internationally known speaker, author, you know, this person that I've been tracking on emails and newsletters for years and years and years was actually calling me in person. And we had a wonderful talk about implementing the program at my school, and gosh, things just kind of took off from there. We weren't able to get the superintendent or the principal at my school on board just yet, but I believe that's coming. It was a little bit too soon, too much too soon to fit it into the school year yet last year, but I think next year there's a good chance that we'll be doing it. In the meantime, I have implemented it in my peer mentoring program. Now, that is something that I started 3-4 years ago. I went into my school as a volunteer, as a mentor, an adult mentor, and I noticed, gosh, there just isn't enough adult mentors to go around. You know?
Truly.
And there's a huge need for kids to be mentored, but not enough adults to do the job, not enough adults to that have time or that want to volunteer in that type of service to others. So I thought, how could we use what we have to reach out to the kids who are in need? And I thought, what are our resources available? Other kids. So I trained a good group of kids that are fairly academically inclined, have higher scores than others, to help those students, their peers, who don't necessarily have the greatest grades, need a little bit of help, need somebody to come up alongside them, give them a little push, give them some encouragement to be better, help them believe in themselves. And as I'm doing that, lo and behold, Mary comes along, and I thought, why can't I do this with my peer mentoring kids? And sure enough, got permission from my principal and started to implement the program this spring. Also, I have a lot of teacher support. Quite a few teachers are on board with it. One teacher even asked me to start doing the program in her class, too, and that's been pretty exciting.
That is exciting, and that's kind of what we're finding right now is that when teachers get wind of this going on, they are very quick to step up and say, how about me?
Right.
Do me.
Uh-huh. It was almost like she wanted this pilot program to be her classroom, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, sure, why not? Got permission again from the principal and went ahead and started doing it. Things have been going wonderfully. We have some stories, let me tell you.
All right. Well, let's get to the stories because this is the stuff that really gets me, just so excited about the possibilities. I find that as we get in to one door that all the other doors just kind of automatically open. And like you said, it's entirely possible that the principal will be much more comfortable bringing this in school-wide. So, you know, what we're asking of principals and superintendents is to basically sell the program to the busy teachers, whereas if the teachers light up to it and bring it, then we have a little bit different kind of an experience here, and we get a different buy-in. And so that's what we're kind of finding with this, is that when the teachers want it, it's a go. So, anyway, so your story is key, and I also think that the more teachers that hear your story about what's happening in this classes will also shorten the time period between when people find out about it to go ahead and implementing it, and certainly by next school year. It's great any time of the year. I mean, clearly, because it's spring right now. And, you know, and that's when Jeannie Hershey did it. People just do it whenever. So talk us through what happened. You got the program. Let's lay out the programs. First of all, is that, was it easy for you to figure out? We give you a dashboard and break everything into lesson plans. So what was your experience with the product?
Wonderful. Very user-friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, laid out for you lessons. Click and play the movies. Click and read the presentations. Click and read the teacher presentation guides. Not hard at all. Not time-consuming. I don't want to say throw together, but honestly, it's easy to throw together.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of extra stuff on my plate.
Right. And even though it's very comprehensive and it gets the job done, it's just really the way I designed it was so that the busy teacher, because I, of course, was a teacher, I, of course, didn't like it when administration would lay more on my to-do list. So I definitely had the teacher in mind. And so, you know, your feeling of this is really important, so because you speak
very
for...
Very user-friendly.
Great.
I would call it very user-friendly. Such as it's easy to find. It's well laid out. All the handouts are together in the manual. All the lessons are right there, 1, 2, 3, 4. Easy to figure out what movie goes with which lesson. And very, very good. It's very good and intelligently laid out, I must say.
Thank you. Well, that's what I was aiming for. So I love the feedback that's coming in on it because it's just so far, the feedback that's come in has just been really, like you said, it's that people are agreeing that it's easy to follow.
Oh, yeah. Very easy. I enjoyed, once we started, we had the kickoff ceremony and showed the Holly Bridges movie and got the kids started right away with their stickers. And one of the stories that I definitely wanted to include today in our chat was we went around the room the next week and we were telling the kids, what was your experience? How did you, and we wanted to hear from each child, you know, because everyone's experience is different.
Mm-hmm.
And we got to some kids and they were saying, well, I gave one to my big brother because he's always there for me. He helps me with my homework when my mom can't because she's working. And I thought, that's cool, you know. And one of the other kids said, oh, I gave one to my mom and I gave one to my dad because they put roof over our head and they give us, you know, food to eat and they work hard. And I thought, that's wonderful. That's great. Well, another one said, I give my sister one. She always babysits us and takes care of us when my dad has to work. And I thought, that's great. You know, families are supporting each other. And one of the little girls, oh, just hurt, touching. She gave one to her mom. And then she began to cry when we asked her what she did with her next sticker. And she said that she had wanted to give it to her dad, but that he had left the family that week, and she wasn't able to. And I thought, wow, that's just, you know, it's something that you don't expect to hear.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do, you think, man, you just never know where people are coming from, you know? You never know what's going on at home.
She had been unable to give it to her dad because there had been so much family around that weekend?
Oh, well, she was going to give it to her dad, but then he left the family.
Left the family.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so glad I asked because I didn't quite hear that. And, so what did you do with that, with her?
Pardon?
So what did you do with that, with her?
Oh,
I mean, well, first of all, it's a great thing because you caught it and you were able to be there for her after such a very sad weekend.
Yeah. Teacher, the teacher that was working there with me, she immediately responded and got up from her chair and went over to hug her.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very impressed how right from the beginning, the rest of the class, was just very respectful. There was just a hushed tone of respect for this young girl as she just up at her seat. And the teacher just continued to hug her, and I said, you know, you students are showing how wonderfully sensitive your hearts are during this moment and how supportive you are of this young lady. As she just takes some time for herself. You know, you're allowing her to feel what happened over this past weekend. And that's wonderful.
Well, you know, it brings up a really important point, too, on top of that, is that this little girl had not shared with anyone up to this point what had happened that weekend. So kids are sitting in our classrooms going through all kinds of things, and we just don't have any idea if we don't have a vehicle to get them to talk and share.
So true. Yeah.
You know, one of the things I did as a classroom teacher is we started out every day with brag and blab. And that way, when kids would come and they'd be all excited when they arrived in the morning, they all wanted to tell me stuff, they could all wait until brag and blab. So that not only were they going to share it with me, they were going to share it with the whole group. So they got to be heard on every level. But also then that was a place for them to share these kinds of situations too. You know, because as you move through the school year, the intimacy grows, the sense of community goes. So this little girl probably would have been able to share, at least in the way that my classroom was set up. But I think it's interesting. I think that the timing was so perfect for this to happen. But, I mean, it just makes you pause.
Absolutely.
You know, how much of this is going on? And that little bit of relief and compassion and connection with her probably went a long way to take care of her, you know, lift mm-hmm. her up and help her go forward with a really sad situation.
Right.
And I'm sure the teacher probably follows up with her, just knowing what you know what to do to help someone when you know what's going on. But when mm-hmm. we don't know what's going on, it's really, you know, we are missing out on a lot of opportunities here. That the intention of the program is to, with the questioning process, is to bring these kinds of things to light. So.
Right.
Yeah, wow. Any other insights or any other things happen around this before we...
Oh, my. I see as we're going along, I've tweaked your materials just a little bit and mm-hmm. added a Play-Doh assignment, and we made our paper chains. Oh, fantastic. I just hung some of them from the ceiling today. And looking at how long that is.
I know. You sent me pictures this morning, and we're getting those up at your website. And so this was all the acknowledgments that they've given out?
Yes, so far.
That's awesome.
And I tell them it's a never-ending chain. As you continue to acknowledge people, you may add links to our chain and keep them hanging. And they were so excited to see how many people make a difference in their lives. I said, just our group right here, this is how many people make a difference that we know of so
mm-hmm.
far.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be more.
I'm going to keep going.
There was just a sense of excitement in the air as we were hanging it up, and the kids were just like, wow, wow. You know, I never really thought about how many people make a difference in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I never really thought about how all these people that I know make the world a better place to live.
Well, they looked like they were really into it in the photos.
Oh, yeah. They go all out.
Yeah.
Some of them were, you could tell the yellows were just taking the town on it, you know, clowning around and having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. And the others, the reds and the greens, were really seriously intense about, okay, now, let's put these together this way, and we'll put those together over there, and we'll put these together over there. It was cute to see all the different personalities blend together.
Mm.
And we intentionally split them apart so that there was at least one of every color in every group as they were working together. And it was so cute to see them working together.
Mm-hmm.
It was so great. I thought, oh, man, you guys are very well blended here.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell the one was taking charge and the other one was cracking jokes and laughing and trying to get everybody else to laugh along with them. And then, of course, the others were like, could you just be serious, you know? And then the blues were like, we need to get along to get this done. Come on now.
Your little leaders.
It was great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
So indeed. That takes us up through the launch and the kickoff and lesson. So moving into lesson plan one, then that's where we have you talked with them yet about the personality styles?
Oh, yes. Oh,
and,
yes.
Well, let's talk about what happened there.
Oh, man. It was fun to find out what color they were and to give them their bands, and we told them, this is how you're wired. This is how your mind works. I said, and you yellow people? I said, this is why you're always getting in trouble at school, because you talk too much. And all their heads started bobbing up and down. Mm-hmm. Yep, okay, I get it now. I get it now. That's why teacher's always telling me to click down. That's why she's always telling me to move my pen because, you know, I try to stop talking with Johnson, but it just doesn't work. I totally understand. And now you should, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said, and if you ask, tell your teacher, too, you know, so that she can understand a little bit better. Teacher can't help it. This is the way I'm wired. but just understanding
mm-hmm.
why we are the way we are.
Mm-hmm. And that makes it about, and then so they're not feeling bad about themselves. This is their strength. And it can also be problematic.
Mm-hmm. It can be. But since you know this about yourself, you can work a little bit harder and even employ others around you. Now, you know what? I'm a yellow. You guys know I'm a talker. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, try and help me tone down a little bit so I stay out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can also make good choices for yourself, too, knowing
mm-hmm.
you know, Bobby's your best friend. Is it a good idea for you to be sitting next to Bobby in class? Probably not. I always say that to the kids.
See,
if you're sitting somewhere where you think you're going to get in trouble, move now.
And see, it's them making the choice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're teaching them how to make choices and decisions based on just information.
Oh, heavens, yes. Then they don't have to run to me all the time and say, solve this problem for me.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
you have the tools in your own toolbox now. You
mm-hmm.
solve it. You think it through. You have what you need to
mm-hmm.
to make a good decision.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Now that moves us into lesson plan 2, which is mm-hmm. about stepping more into your greatness. And I think you had some stories for me around it. What happened with the eagle story?
Oh, we had fun with that one. I like to mix our lessons with a good dose of humor. And we talked about the difference between an eagle and a chicken. And I'm a little bit of an actor at times, and so I pretended that I was a chicken living on the ground. And so I tucked my arms underneath my armpits and made like a chicken, and I was bending over and eating food off the ground, and I said, I have a chicken. I am a chicken. I think like a chicken. I'll never be great like the eagle. I walk around on the ground every day, and I peck the dirt to find my food. Then I just kept going, and then there's the eagle. The eagle. I had a couple of the kids come up, and we spread our wings out like we were eagles from one side of the room to the other. And I said, look how big the eagle is, and look how small the chicken is. The eagle can see 5 miles in every direction. I said, wouldn't it be wild if you could see that far? You could see 5 miles this way, and this way, and this way, and that way. You can see a squirrel 5 miles away and go, ooh, there's lunch. And, of course, everyone laughs. The eagle might even see the chicken someday.
Ooh.
And say, ooh, there's dinner.
What they say?
Yeah, and they went, oh, no. And they said, oh, yes. So which would you rather be, an eagle or a chicken? I said, the eagle's at the top of the food chain. That means nothing's going to eat the eagle. But we eat chicken, don't we? And so do eagles. So who do you want to be, an eagle or a chicken? You want to soar above the clouds? You want to go somewhere in life? Or do you just want to eat dirt and cluck, cluck, cluck in the chicken yard and only stay on the chicken cloud? Another decision that you have to make about where you're going in life. Then we had some Play-Doh that we...
Yeah, ate. Tell me about this Play-Doh.
Oh.
What did you do with that?
Just for a little tactile exercise so the kids have something to do besides talk about the difference between the eagle and the chicken.
Mm.
They took some Play-Doh, and of course we broke them up into groups again. We put a red and a yellow and a green and a blue all together in the group of four, if we could.
Mm-hmm.
But that's if we could.
Cool. I'm glad to see you bring that forward, the
oh,
color.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is so great.
Yeah, so they can work together and get the job done and understand each other's personalities better, too, if they're working together in a group. It's obvious who the leader is. It's obvious who the joker is. It's obvious who's going to get the work done, and it's obvious who's going to say, let's all get along now. Come on, you guys. Let's get this done. It's beautiful to watch it and to listen to it and see what happens. But they took the Play-Doh, and I said, now, you are the master of your own destiny. That means you decide where your life's going to go. You're the one who makes the decisions for you in life. Now, what do you want your heart or your mind to look like as you're going through life? Are you going to be a person who makes a difference, like the evil? Or you are going to be a person who doesn't make a whole lot of difference, and you're a chicken? What do you want your heart and your mind to look like as you're going through life? Now, you might, and I give them some suggestions, you might want to see like the evil and have great vision for the future and make goals like maybe you want to go to college. Maybe you want to be an Olympic swimmer. Maybe you like to cook and you'd like to be a chef someday. Maybe you like to work on cars. Everybody has talents. Everybody has gifts. What's your heart going to look like while you're going through life? Are you going to make good decisions or bad decisions? What do you want your mind to be thinking? Because your mind is like Play-Doh. You get to shape the thoughts that run through your mind. Now, do you want your glass to be half empty or half full or all the way up to the top or overflowing? Did you know if your glass overflows that people can actually pick up a straw and flip up the water that comes out of the glass? And I take a straw and I go, I'm drinking that extra water. And of course, I'm doing it on the blackboard. So everybody's laughing, you know, because I'm flipping up marker into a straw. But it gets the point across. Some of the kids made an eagle eye because they wanted to see into the future and make good goals. One girl had a necklace that said love, and she pressed it into the Play-Doh and said, we would like our hearts and our minds to be full of love as we go through life, expressing to others kindness, generosity, truth. And I went, wow.
Wow is right.
Yeah, you're really thinking about this. You really take this assignment seriously. That's great. Some of the other kids made their Play-Doh into the shape of a heart, and they signed their names to it.
Oh, nice.
And said, we would like our heart to be excellent as possible. And we signed our names to it because we're going to be committed to doing this. And I thought, man, you guys are excellent. Fantastic. Great the way you're thinking about this. Others, another group made a book. They just made a square. And they wrote some things on it, and they said, these are our goals. They didn't like, you know, specific things. But they wrote like it was a book on their little piece of Play-Doh. And they said, we would like to chart our course in life and write down our goals, what we're looking forward to, and where we would like to go. Again,
wow.
Some great thoughts that you would not expect from third and fourth graders.
I know.
But when you talk to them like this, they can go there.
They can. They absolutely can. The IQ is already there. I mean, their understanding is already there, but wow,
oh, yeah.
You really brought them to amazing levels here.
If you're telling them to go there, they will.
Mm-hmm.
They do.
Mm-hmm. Well, wow, you're just really going to town with these lessons. I'm so impressed and so thrilled. I came in just pinching myself right now. Okay, so anything else on lesson two with the eagle? Any other... I mean, that was a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
some of the lessons can come across as a little bit heavy. Sometimes when we watch the movie, the kids will go, oh, that was so sad. And I'll say, but what kind of difference was made? Look at how that turned around and how something that was originally bad turned out to be something really great.
Exactly. And that was the point of the emotionality of the movies that I used, was because what we're trying to stimulate here, the whole point of this is to get the conversation going. You build community from people talking and from kids talking and sharing and having their thoughts expressed, because, you know, sometimes it's hard to put into words what they're feeling, and that's a skill. And it takes what it takes to get there. The kids that are behaving, are acting out in classes, aren't able to put words to what they're feeling, so they just behave it out. You know, they act it out. And so in building classroom community, these conversations that are structured, well, the movie stimulates emotion. That's on purpose. That's deliberate. The questions are designed to stimulate more thought about what they saw, what they understood from every conceivable angle. Because we don't know what's going on for kids if we can't get them to talk about it. And we want to keep kids in the classroom and stop sending them to the principal's office when they act out. And if we start these conversations this whole week with each of these movies, then take that questioning, what I want teachers to learn about questioning, that is a skill that anybody who goes like for a master's degree in educational psychology and counseling like I did, you have to learn to put the questions before the advice. You know, you have, and so the essence of what this program is really doing is teaching teachers how to ask thought-provoking and emotionally provoking questions that have a safety net built in, so you can bring kids through it to the other side. Like you said, Vicki, is then, well, so what was the good thing that came out of this? So, yes, this is appears to be a negative experience, but yet look at this. So if we have a situation going on in our lives that's kind of painful or sad, how can we turn that around and go forward with it, you know, at some point? So what I feel very strongly about is that we, as educators, we're taught to teach a subject area. And we love that. But where the real value comes in, especially in uniting a classroom and creating community, comes through what you did with this program, which is to ask the questions and get a conversation going. And then of course the activities that go along with that, because activity stimulates conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's directed conversation. We're not just, you know, talking about, you know, a lot of goofy stuff. It's directed. It's specific, and it's laden with safety nets for kids. So, anyway, I get really excited about this, clearly. So, let's move on to the next lesson, which has the Teddy Stallard story, which is all about compassion.
Some of the teachers didn't want me to show that movie.
Right.
I showed it in my group, and again, the kids were like, oh, that's kind of sad. But look what happened at the end. Look what happened at the end. Teddy goes through his life. Teacher didn't even realize what was going on at home. I said, you never know where other people are coming from. You don't know what's going on at somebody's house. So how do you cut somebody some slack? How do you give somebody a break? Do you ever forgive people, or do you just walk around and go, oh, that person's just so nasty. Oh, I don't get along with him, and I never will. I say, wow, really?
What'd they say?
How can we turn that around? Today we had a rather explosive situation in our class where one of the girls was acting out and throwing books and slamming doors and desks. And I said, my goodness. And she's one of my TNT girls, too. Mm. And I'm like, oh, let's take a walk.
Yeah, let's figure
take
this
a walk.
Out.
Let's get to the bottom of this. Talk to me. What's going on? And what came out was amazing. The situation wasn't even school-related.
Mm-hmm. See, that's
the
thing.
A bunch of stuff that happened in the morning at home and then coming to school, and every little thing just built on top of it until we exploded. And I asked the kids, can we cut her some slack? Can we give her a break? Because wouldn't you like a break when you need one? Because some of the kids were like, I'm not going to forgive her. And I said, really? What happens when you need forgiveness? What happens then when you need a break? Would you like people to give you a break? Well, yeah.
Yeah, when it's coming my way.
Well, yeah. You know, I need a break, but she doesn't. You know, and I'm like, really? Let's think about this again. Until everybody, we talked about it, until everybody was able to raise their hands and say, okay, we're done with this. Let's move on now.
Yeah, and then also in your, you know, in the you know, helping her process, she can, you know, you can put into play a option for her the next time she gets that built up to let the valve off a little bit and get, you know, have an adult or someone of her choosing to talk this out with.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't have to diminish herself publicly in this way.
Right.
You know, which is, you know, then because she's got to come back up over that, too. And so you've got a real teachable moment here if it's handled correctly.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm. So they thought that the Teddy movie was sad. When I showed it to junior high and high school students at a big auditorium, I can't remember, 500 to 700 kids, and then I asked them, you know, what'd you pull from this? You know, I was really blown away with how tender-hearted the whole audience, the whole group was. And the kids that stood up were really coming from their heart as they talked about Teddy. Some of them were Teddy. And, of course, that always touches your heart. And then the rest of the group would go, oh, wow, because we didn't know that about this kid. They didn't know that about their peer. And then the kids that stood up and were so insightful about this business, like you said, Vicki, about we just don't know what's going on behind closed doors or in somebody's home, and we have to remember that. So, but these kids were a little younger, the third and fourth, so they thought it was sad. What else?
Oh, they just rolled with it. I think that for the most part, seeing, wow, he became a doctor, so it really did turn around. And as teacher, who I said, who made a difference in whose life? And the kids were like, well, they both did.
Good. Great.
They both did. Yeah. He taught her how to teach. And I said, who here has ever had a grumpy teacher? You know, I said, who here has ever seen me be grumpy? I share a little bit of my story, too. I do. I said, have I ever snapped at you? Yes.
Yes.
But the kids, they're amazing with me. They'll come up to me later and they'll say, it's okay, Miss Johnson. Everybody has a bad day.
That's great.
Said, oh, my goodness. You have such a great heart. I just love you.
Mm-hmm.
And give a hug and let's move on.
Right. Well, good. So that stimulated some conversation and.
Oh, very much.
Okay.
I like to be real with them too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said some of you have heard my story. You know, I didn't grow up in a fantastic home. I, you know, had a lot of struggles. I thought perhaps that my father would kill himself. He was always talking about going down to the corner drugstore and buying a bullet. And, you know, so I came home quickly from school and ran to the house because I didn't want my sisters to find my dad somewhere slumped over. You know,
mom, she was very unhappy. She took out a lot of her anger on us kids, and we got beat up a lot. And I tell the kids that. Not to scare you or not, you know, not to make you feel bad for me, but so that you understand, hey, you would never look at Ms. Johnson and think that that kind of stuff happened to her while she was growing up. In the same way, you might not think that something like that's happening to the person you share a locker with.
Exactly.
You might not know what's going on in somebody else, you know, somebody's next door to the, you know, people you live next door to. So it's the right thing to treat everybody kindly because we don't know where they're coming from.
Wonderful.
But look, look what happened with me. I could never be standing up here doing PMP and teaching you guys if I had said, my life is too hard, I give up. Life isn't worth it. It's too hard.
Yeah, I keep thinking how much this would have helped me as a kid if I would have known that the world existed outside myself and my own problems, you know, that other people sitting next to me could have. I mean, it just never occurred to me in a million years anybody could be having struggles like I was. And it would have helped me a lot because I internalized, you know, that everything that went on was because there was something wrong with me instead of that there was people just had stuff going on that had nothing to do with me necessarily. I mean, you know, certainly there were some relationship conflicts, but I mean, for the most part, you know, and I just, you know, and of course that's why I designed it the way I did is because it just never occurred to me. And I just think what a leg up we're giving kids by getting them to think outside themselves and turn me into we, you know.
Exactly.
And all of that. Well, let's move on to
kids.
Let's move on to lesson four, which is the best self movie and the energy of an attitude and how we can get down on ourselves or we can lift ourselves up.
Oh, I made a list of positive affirmations and pass them out to the kids.
Oh, nice. And I hope you'll give that to me.
Oh, sure.
We'll get that thrown in the course really fast.
Sure. We say them every time they come in. Some of what we say is, I can do this. I put positive self-talk. That's like, you know how you talk to other people? You can talk to yourself the same way.
Did you play the movie? Did the movie come off okay?
I couldn't find it, so we didn't do it yet. We did skits and stuff.
Okay.
I figured it out now. Today, I figured it out while I was doing it with Denise. Yeah. So I'll definitely be showing that next week. But what we did was just a little bit of role-playing, and I held up some signs, and I said, here's something that probably runs through your mind every day. This math is too hard. I'm not going to do it, or I can't do it. I said, who here has ever felt that way? Of course, everybody's hands go up. I said, my hand goes up, too, because I did not like math in school. Math was my worst subject, and the kids are like, you're kidding me. Like, no, I did not like math. And I said, in some ways, I still don't really like math, but now I teach it, but I kind of have to like it. But they're just amazed that Ms. Johnson doesn't like math. And I said, I used to get such bad grades in math, but you know what? I got a tutor to help me. And I said, there's nothing wrong with asking for help. It's totally okay to ask for help. If you ever need help, ask the teacher. Don't ever be ashamed to ask for help. Help is a good thing. People will come up alongside you and get you through that hard spot. So what do we say to ourselves instead of this is too hard and I can't do it? And they're thinking, and they're thinking, and nobody comes up with anything. And I said, how about, this problem is a challenge to me. I'm going to have to try a little harder or put forth a little bit more effort. Do you think you could do that? Raise your hand if you think you could do that. Every hand went up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how easy was that? To turn that around from something negative to something positive.
doesn't it make more sense to think the right way? And he was like, yeah. Wouldn't you have a better day if you thought this way instead of that way? I see that. Mm-hmm. And I just kept giving him example after example. You know, I don't like that person over there. They're not nice to me. What if you said something like, okay, that person isn't nice to me, but I'll try and be nice to them. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, but at least you know you tried. Is it your fault if they don't like you? No. But again, mm-hmm. you never know where that person's coming from. Maybe their mama's sick at home. Maybe their daddy don't treat them right. You never know
mm-hmm.
why they're acting that way. But if you be nice on purpose, which is the premise of the PMP program, to be nice on purpose, pick up that piece of trash when you don't feel like it, to smile at somebody when you're having a bad day, to encourage yourself with a positive self-talk. Another thing that we do is, I am important. So don't ever let anybody tell you that you're not important or that your life doesn't mean anything. I grew up hearing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? It is just not true. Some kids come up to me and they'll say, Bobby said I was ugly. And I look at them and I say, well, is it true? And they look at me like, what? What? I said, well, is it true? Are you ugly? They go, no. And I said, then why do you believe them? Why are you believing them? I want you to go right back to Bobby and say, Bobby, I don't believe what you're saying. I don't believe that I'm ugly. And then just walk away. What's wrong with that?
So they lit to the self-talk, and of course,
oh,
and then when you show the self-talk movie, then we'll get a little find out what their thoughts are about that too.
Oh, it'll be exciting, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you had a chance to do the lesson 5 yet on the simple gesture?
Nope.
Okay, well then we'll just pick it up where we left off, and I'll just bridge this on to the end of it at that point. So, you know, one of the things you said to me or wrote to me was that the more you got into the material, the more you loved it. And I just wanted, let's just wrap up today with your thoughts about going forward with this. And can you see going school-wide now with this, that you've done this?
I'm certainly pushing for it and hoping for it and shooting my principal regular emails about it and telling her how I see the kids connecting and how my love for the program is just the more I use it, the more I love it.
Okay.
So the more excited I get about it. Like, I was excited to begin with, but my excitement for the program now is, here you can tell, I'm kind of off the charts on it now. Because the energy level and the great things that you see happen right before your eyes, the kids connecting with each other, the light bulb going on. Oh, that's why I get into trouble all the time for talking. I'm yellow. My aunt passed away, and one of the girls walked up to me and said, Miss Johnson, I just feel so bad for you. I'm so sorry. And she gave me a hug, and I said, you must be a blue.
Mm-hmm.
She looked at me like she was shocked, and she said, yes, I am. How did you know? Because you're such a sweetheart. You're very kind, and you go out of your way to display your kindness and your sympathy for someone. That's wonderful. But, yeah, just I see so many great things. And the kids are not only loving PMP, but they're secretly loving your program, too, and they don't know it.
Well, the thing is, as I talk to administrators and directors in the school, of course, the one thing they want to know they want to see and they want to know that there are measurable results,
mm-hmm.
and that those measurable results will impact academics and the test scores. And of course, I've had that experience. This is the whole point of why I created Classroom Community and made it safe for kids to settle down and calm down and so that their minds could work and we could enjoy our minds. But, when we get into that kind of test and measurements, because you are experiencing this right now and we're looking toward an entire school doing this, what would you say to administrators about this test and measurements part? You're creating a safe community, and what can you say to that? Because this seems to be the big question. Everybody wants to know that their kids' scores are going to, my kids' scores consistently improved in my classrooms 2.5 to 3 years grade average growth.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they want that. What do you think about that?
I think
the possibility of that.
Building the foundation, laying the foundation, the safety, the security, the, hey, I can feel good about myself. I've been believing a lot of things about myself that are not true.
Mm-hmm.
People are saying this about me. But look at this list of self-talk stuff. I can do this.
Well, the self-talk alone could increase, and will increase grade point average.
Oh, yeah. But the opportunity for them to put it into practice. Okay, here's what this looks like. When I tell them, okay, now we're going to pass out your bracelets or you're going to pass out your stickers, number one on the list of how to do this is do your self-talk.
Mm-hmm.
Tell yourself, I can do this. This is not hard. I believe in myself. I can handle this.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be the easiest thing that I've done all week. And then going out and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Talking yourself into the truth about yourself. Instead of believing what the world tells you, and laying this kind of foundation with the kids, Mary, is capturing their hearts. There's a program called Capturing Kids' Hearts. It's very popular.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great program. But your program comes right up alongside that and captures kids' hearts as well and their minds. Once you get their attention, once you touch the inside, kids will tap into their gifts and talents that are already on the inside. I tell you, every kid is talented. Every kid is gifted. And I said, you know what? That's inside of you. And if you can find that spot and tap into it and just let that come out, man, you're going to do incredible on this test. Man, your test scores are going to go off the charts because you believe in yourself. You know you got this.
And the more relaxed, and the research does show that the frontal lobe of the brain, when the person is relaxed in a state of compassion, connected to their hearts, or have experienced acknowledgement, is that the frontal lobe is lit up. And when the frontal lobe is lit up, then the mind can find solutions. And so if we live in a state where a community of kids that are safe and it's safe to be there and nobody's saying hurtful or harmful things to each other, that frontal lobe is lit up. And that's how learning becomes, it's not working hard at learning. Learning then can happen for kids. And so, the brain gets engaged, and as we're relaxed, we breathe. And as we breathe, oxygen can also get to the brain. So there's several, physiological things that happen that research is observing that is significant and will have a true impact on test and measurements. But, the first step is you've got to create a safe community.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Absolutely.
Just somebody calling somebody else fat or ugly is not a safe community, and it's not okay. But more importantly, the person who did the name calling, we want to investigate. You know, you can give them a dirty look and you can do stuff right back at them, or you can say, oh my gosh, you know, what was going on for you that you would say that somebody else was ugly? What, you know, what's going on? What's the thought? Use your words. So here's your opportunity. Use your words. Tell me. And, you know, I have a three-step what if when technique. It's what was going on for you. And you never ask why, because why is about excuses. What we want is we want kids tapping into their hearts, to what was emotionally upsetting for them that they behaved in this way. So what was going on for you? Well, she looked at me funny and I didn't like it. Okay. And if they don't know what was going on for them, then you say, if you did know, it's a what if when, if you did know what might it be? Sometimes it takes them to the second round to get the answer, and sometimes they still can't access it because they're so bottled up. So then you say, when you do know, I want you to tell me. What if when? So when they do, so let's say you have a little yellow who can get right in touch with what was going on for them, and they say, I didn't like it, she had an attitude, and I don't think she likes me. Now we find out why somebody took a shot.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of making them wrong, we then go straight from that point. You can go into some problem-solving, decision-making, directive type, you know, how to make a better choice that's good for you and going to be good for everybody else. Because if you hurt somebody else, you've also hurt yourself. So, you know, striking out just never works for anybody.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So, all about the program.
Yeah, right. Well, Vicki, I really deeply appreciate what you're doing. I am blown away with your results. I'm so thrilled as we get this work out there. And, of course, on your agenda, as you have are becoming certified as a facilitator of this work, and the goal here I have for you, at least, is for you to get this out into schools, many, many more schools in your community, and we'll see where it goes from there. But a couple things. One is, you know, you facilitating this, you going into schools, but as you said, it is set up so that someone can head it up in a school and get the teachers on board, and it can run itself. I like the idea of my certified facilitators getting out there and doing it and running it. So, and the sponsoring and the partnering part of this, where you can bring money in if the school doesn't have the money, and how you get yourself paid. So, to go forward, because you know, we have to create a livelihood for ourselves if we're going to do this full time. So a lot on the a lot in the future for you here. I'm just certain of it. I'm so tickled pink with your success with this, and of course we'll look forward to getting everyone on board to do it school wide. And then we'll I think at that point we'll pay attention to the test results at the end of the year and see what difference this has made.
That would be great.
Yeah. All right. Well, you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be in touch after you've done the Best Self movie, and then, of course, the Simple Gesture. You know that there's a K4 version of the Simple Gesture, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be excited to see what they think about that. And thank you so much.
Yeah. I enjoyed our conversation. Thanks.
I love our working together, and I'm really excited about having you on board to take this out even to other facilitators, people who want to become facilitators. So I see you heading up the charge here. All right. Well, you have a good weekend. And thanks again. I'm so appreciative. I can't even tell you.
Aww.
And tell Sandy I said hi.
I'll do that.
All right.
To Craig.
Okay, I will. All right,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.